الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له واشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن الا وانتم مسلمون يا ايها الناس اتقوا ربكم الذي خلقكم من نفس واحده وخلق منها زوجها وبث منهما رجالا كثيرا ونساء واتقوا الله الذي تساءلون به والارحام ان الله كان عليكم رقيبا يا ايها الذين امنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم اعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما اما بعد فان اصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدى هدى محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم وشر الامور محدثاتها وكل محدثه بدعه وكل بدعه ضلاله وكل ضلاله في النار Alhamdulillah, we praise Allah and we seek His assistance and we seek His forgiveness. And we seek refuge in Allah from the evil within ourselves and from our bad deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is none that can lead him astray, and whoever is led astray, then there is no guide for him. I bear witness that no God has the right to be worshipped other than Allah. He is alone and has no partners. And I bear witness that Muhammad is His slave and His messenger. O you who believe, fear Allah as He ought to be feared and don't die except as Muslims. O humanity, fear your Lord who has created you from a single soul and created from it its mate and scattered from them too many men and women. And fear Allah for whom you demand your mutual rights and don't cut off relations with the wombs that bore you. Indeed, Allah is the Raqib over you. O you who believe, fear Allah and say that which is correct in order that He may accept from you your deeds and forgive you of your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has achieved the greatest achievement. Amma ba'du. Certainly the most truthful speech is the Book of Allah. And the finest guidance is the guidance of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the most evil of affairs are newly invented matters in this deen. And every newly invented matter in this deen is a bid'ah. And every bid'ah is a string. And every string is in the fire. Continuing with the fiqh of Ramadan, we're still with the book of Imam al-Shawkani, Ad-Durur al-Bahiyya. And we come to Al-Fasl al-Thani, or the second chapter, or the second section of the first chapter, Ahkam al-Siyam. And this is Mubtilatu Sawm, or that which invalidates the fast. And the statement of Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, وَيَبْطُلُ بِالْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ وَالْقَيْءِ عَمْدًا وَيَحْرُمُ الْوِصَالِ وَعَلَى مَنْ أَفْطَرَ عَمْدًا كَفَّارَةٌ كَفَّارَةِ الظِّهَارِ وَيُنْدَبُ تَعْجِيلُ الْفِطْرِ وَتَأْخِيرُ السُّحُورِ. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says in this section, and the fast is broken by eating or drinking or sexual intercourse or vomiting intentionally. And the wisal type of fasting is haram. And it's upon the one who breaks his fast intentionally to do the kafara, like the kafara to zihar. And it is recommended that the fast is broken immediately and the suhoor is delayed. Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, in this short chapter section, shows that which it breaks the fast, as he says, the fast is broken by eating and drinking, and this is the position that everyone knows and there's no difference in it. And this issue of eating or drinking, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, إِذَا نَسِيَ فَأَكَلَ وَشَرِبَ فَلْيُتِمَّ صَوْمَهُ فَإِنَّمَا أَطْعَمَهُ اللَّهُ وَسَقَاهُ. But the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, if he forgets and he eats and he drinks, then let him continue the fast, and because indeed Allah has given him food and drink. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in this narration of Al-Bukhari Muslim, he shows that if you eat and drink mistakenly, continue your fast, because eating and drinking breaks your fast if you did it intentionally. And this is understood by this hadith, and none of the Muslims differ in this position. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Then he says, and sexual intercourse breaks the fast. And this is from the statement of Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, verse number 187. وَحَلَّ لَكُمْ لَيْلَةَ الصِّيَامَ الرَّفَثُ إِلَىٰ نِسَائِكُمْ. As Allah Tabarak wa Ta'ala says, on the night, meaning in Ramadan, it has been on the night of your fast for the month of Ramadan, it has been made permissible for you to have relations with your wife. This only shows that it is permissible in the evening time and not during the day when you fast. And there is no difference of an opinion amongst the ulama about this. And then the Shaykh Muhammad Subhi Hassan al-Hallaq, he wants to bring this hadith of al-Bukhari al-Muslim also to show that its relations breaks the fast. As he brings this long hadith on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, قال بينما نحن جلوس عند النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم إذ جاءه الرجل فقال يا رسول الله هلكت قال ما لك قال وقعت على امرأتي وأنا صائم فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم هل تجد رقبة تعتقها قال لا قال فهل تستطيع أن تصوم شهرين متتابعين قال لا قال فهل تجد إطعام 60 مسكينا قال لا قال فمكث النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم فبينا نحن على ذلك أوتي النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعرق فيها تمر والعرق المكتل قال أين السائل قال أنا قال خذ هذا فتصدق به فقال الرجل على أفقر مني يا رسول الله فوالله ما بين لابتيها يريد الحرتين أهل بيت أفقر من أهل بيتي فضحك النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم حتى بدت أنيابه ثم قال أطعمه أهلك. وإن the narration of Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah it adds قال وصم يوما مكانه. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, he says, while we were sitting there with the Messenger of Allah, with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a man came up and he said, O Messenger of Allah, I'm destroyed. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what is it? He said, I have relations with my wife while I was fasting. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, do you have a slave that you can free? He said, no. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can you fast? Do you have the ability to fast 2 months consecutively? He said, no. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can you feed 64 people? He said, no. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam waited a while, and while we were just there, someone brought a container of dates. So the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, where is the questioner? He said, here I am. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, take this and give it in sadaqah. So the man said, O Messenger of Allah, to someone who is more poor than I am? Then he said, there's no one but in this valley more poor than my family. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam laughed and said, until his back teeth showed, and then he said, okay, feed your family with this. So in this hadith, it shows that relations with a man having relations with his wife during the daytime of the month of Ramadan breaks the fast if someone does that intentionally, as we see in this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam collected by Al-Bukhari and Muslim. We also see a point in this hadith that's important, especially when it comes to fasting, and we'll mention it also when we come to that part, that a person knows best about his own self, and he's going to have to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on his own judgment. And we make this point every now and then, and it's important that the people know that a person is his own judge on certain things that affect him. As the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, can you fast for 2 months? He said, no. And it wasn't upon the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to say, look like you're strong enough to me. And this is going to come when we come to the part about a person being sick, and then someone else saying, no, you don't look sick to me. You can fast. Or a person sitting down making the salat, somebody said, you look like you're okay to me, stand up and make salat. And this hadith, inshallah, it just shows that a person knows best about how much ability he has to do such and such. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is his Lord and our Lord. And Allah is going to judge him and judge us for what we do. So a person should be mindful of the decisions he makes about himself, Because he's going to have to meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with that, and nobody's going to judge him but Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And the next point that the Shaykh, he mentions of the things that breaks the fast, and that is to throw up intentionally or to vomit intentionally. Before I get that, I left out a point. This point about a man having relations with his wife and breaking his fast, in the other narration of Abu Dawood, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam told him, and fast another day in place of that day. And fast another day in place of that day. And this just shows if the person broke his fast like that and he wasn't able to do any of these, or whether he was able to do any one of these things or not, that it's still upon him to fast another day, making up for this day, as we see in this narration of Abu Dawood and Ibn Majah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As for throwing up intentionally, the hadith of Abu Dawood and At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah and others, on the authority of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, man dara'ahu qay'un وهو صائم فليس عليه قضاء ونستقاء فليقضي. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, whoever just happens to throw up or vomit while he's fasting, then he doesn't have to make up that day. But if he intentionally throws up, then he has to make up that day. And the question was asked by myself, in case someone has the same question, why in the world would somebody make himself throw up while he's fasting? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I thought before I had asked that question to one of the shuyukh, and I don't remember the answer, maybe in one of the upcoming conferences, we'd ask, why in the world would people throw up while they're fasting when everybody else wants to put some more down? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, but this is the verdict of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and only shows that whoever breaks his fast, whoever throws up intentionally or makes himself throw up while he's fasting, then he has to make that day up, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam shows that it breaks the fast. So these are the things that breaks the fast: eating intentionally, drinking intentionally, having relations intentionally, and throwing up intentionally. And it's important that you say intentionally, because if someone did one of these things unintentionally, then it doesn't break his fast. If someone did it unintentionally, meaning by mistake, not willfully desiring to be disobedient to Allah or His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then this doesn't break his fast. As Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explained, if someone forgot and ate, then it's just upon him to complete his fast, as this is from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala giving him food and drink. Imam al-Shawkani rahimullah, he said, al-wisal type of fasting is haram. The wisal type of fasting is where you fast 2 days or more consecutively without breaking your fast. That's like waking up on Monday morning, you eat your suhoor, you start fasting. Monday evening at Maghrib, you don't eat anything or drink anything. You just continue going all the way until Tuesday night is where you break your fast. This type of fast is haram, as we see in the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, on the authority of Aisha radiallahu anha, qalat, naha Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam anil wisal rahmatan lahum. فقالوا إنك تواصل قال إني لست كهيئتكم إني يطعمني ربي ويسقيني. Aisha radiallahu anha, she said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited the al-wisal type of fasting as a mercy for them, meaning for the believers. So they said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but we see you do it. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, I am not like any of you. My Lord gives me food and gives me drink. So here the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see from this hadith of Aisha and Al-Bukhari and Muslim, that he prohibited us from making this al-wisal type of fasting, where you fast 2 consecutive days without breaking your fast. Meaning when Maghrib comes, you don't eat anything or drink anything or have relations all night long, and then you do it the second day. This was only for the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. And we see in this hadith that there is something that's prohibited for the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and it's not forbidden to him himself. And from these type of hadith, some of the ulama, they say that if a statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam seems to contradict one of the actions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then it's upon the Ummah to hurry to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to give the best consideration that maybe that action may have been for him only, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Like some of the ulama, they make the verdict on the issue of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam prohibiting the Ummah from standing up and drinking. And then they saw the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself standing up and drinking. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, I had mentioned to the brothers that I don't have a part of my etiquette that somebody has to ask to leave. Whoever likes to stay can stay, and whoever likes to leave can leave, inshallah ta'ala. Jazakumullahu khair. And this is for the other brothers, if everybody like to pass that on. If anybody wants to come, we said if he wants to listen to one hadith, alhamdulillah. If he wants to stay for the whole class, alhamdulillah. If he just wants to catch half of the hadith and leave, alhamdulillah rabbil alameen. We don't have a tight curriculum schedule, or whatever you want to call it. This is just for the masses of the Muslims, inshallah. Whoever wants to take the benefit can, and whoever doesn't, alhamdulillah. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And on that point, and I think tomorrow morning, inshallah, after Fajr, we want to deal with that point, that if it's not the issue of an ayat or a hadith of a Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that upon which the Salaf have agreed upon, then it's on the people to look at the way they see it and to go the way they see it. And I didn't see that this was from amongst the etiquette, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. The brother is asking, and the discussion can go on to be quite lengthy on this point, as the brother is saying that Allah Ta'ala is the one who mentions that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu doesn't speak on his own desires, he only speaks from revelation revealed to him. So when he speaks, it's clear that that's revelation from Allah Ta'ala, and it's for humanity to the day of Yawm Al-Qiyamah to practice it, as opposed to if he did something Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then that might be for him specific and not for the Ummah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. We're not saying that this is actually the case all of the time, as there, and you can see in other hadith, that which would make it lean to other than this statement, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But we just wanted to show that from the likes of this hadith, that the ulama take some of their principles that we call the usulu fiqh principles, that they stem from hadith like this, to say that it's important for us to hold on to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the action might be for him. And we can say, on the other hand, that some of the ulama say, no, what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam did, what he said, and what he agreed, what he let go, and his presence is all from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Just like we saw in the hadith before, when the man said, "Is there anyone more poor? Nobody more poor than me, Ya Rasulullah." And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam started laughing, and many times the Messenger of Allah is telling me just smiled or whatever and let such and such go. And this shows that this thing is also from the Sunnah of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. At any rate, this issue of the al-wisal type of fasting is prohibited, not just in the month of Ramadan, but also outside of the month of Ramadan, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam have prohibited this. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says, and it's upon the person who breaks his fast intentionally to do the kafara, like the kafara to dhihar. This kafara, or I think they call it the atonement or something, that which you do to make up for the sin that you committed. Like we had just mentioned, the one who had relations with his wife, so the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam showed him the kafara to make in order to atone for that sin by freeing a slave or fasting 60 days consecutively. Like that to the end of the hadith, or feeding 60 people to the end of that hadith. Imam Ash-Shawkani says, whoever breaks his fast intentionally has to do that. The Shaykh, he comes behind Ash-Shawkani and he says that this statement of Shawkani has no proof that is sahih, no dalil that is sahih to support this statement. Rather, he's transgressed the bounds when he used this previous hadith where the man mentioned relations with his wife, to let that go for throwing up, to let that go for eating, and to let that go for drinking. But the Messenger of Allah only mentioned it on that, and it's for the believers to hold fast to that which the Messenger of Allah specified, because he could have made it general to encompass everything else, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. As the ulama, they differ on this issue, and the Shaykh felt that the position of Shawkani was a weaker position, and that what is stronger is that there's only a kafara if a person had relations with his wife intentionally in the month of Ramadan. As for eating and drinking, if somebody does it intentionally, then he just blew his fast, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. And as for the one who throws up intentionally, then the Messenger of Allah sallam made it clear that he has to make up that day, and he didn't mention sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it was for that person to do the kafara, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So on the one who breaks his fast intentionally from eating and drinking, he blew that and he can't make that up. By our statement, he can't make that up, meaning whoever intentionally blows something that is compulsory upon him, he can't make it up, meaning he can't do it over again. But he can make up for his sin by doing good deeds after it, as Allah Ta'ala teaches us in the Quran, and the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam teaches us to follow up a bad deed with a good deed, because a good deed will wipe away the bad deed. So in general, doing good deeds after somebody did a bad deed will help to make up for that bad deed, though there's nothing specific to say that this is how you make up for that particular sin that you committed, like we have the hadith for relations and throwing up intentionally, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Then Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimullah, he says that it's recommended to hurry to break the fast, or to break the fast immediately, and to delay the suhoor. And this is from the hadith of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَا يَزَالُ النَّاسُ بِخَيْرٍ مَا عَجَّلُ الْفِطْرِ. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, the people will always be okay so long as they hurry to break the fast. And from this hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it shows that it's recommended to hurry to break the fast. And then there's other hadith of the Messenger of Allah والسلام, around this issue of breaking the fast. And likewise, for the issue of hurrying to or delaying the suhoor, as we see in the narration of Al-Bukhari and Muslim, where Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he said, تَسَحَرْنَا مَعَ النَّبِيِّ صَلَى اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ ثُمَّ قَامَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قُلْتُ كَمْ كَانَ بَيْنَ الْأَذَانِ وَالسُّحُورِ قَالَ قَدْرُ خَمْسِينَ آيَةٍ. This hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim, Zayd ibn Thabit radiallahu anhu, he said that we made the suhoor with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and then he stood up and made the salah. And they said, how much was between the adhan and the salah? And he said, how much was between the adhan and the suhoor? And he said, the like of 50 ayahs, meaning the time that it would take to read 50 ayahs from the Quran. That's about how long it was between the suhoor and the adhan to begin the fast of the month of Ramadan. So here in these two hadith, they show that which Imam Ash-Shawkani says, that it's recommended to hurry to break the fast and to delay the suhoor. And then there's other hadith from the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, not just on these points but on all the other points. And I think that we might get to some of those hadith when we we said Bulugh al-Maram, and we just encourage the people to read the book written by Shaykh Salim al-Hilali and Ali Hassan al-Halabi, Sifatu Sawm al-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or I think they call it Fasting the Month of Ramadan, or somebody knows the exact wording of that, the name of that book. Somebody knows what is it? Fasting the Month of Ramadan by Salim al-Hilali and Ali Hassan. So we encourage that the people can read this book, so that they can look at the other narrations of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam on the particular points, as we're just covering the book of Imam Ash-Shawkani and going over these points briefly with a piece of evidence, and maybe two, in order to make it clear and simple for us, inshallah ta'ala. So that's the section of what breaks the fast, eating and drinking and relations with sexual intercourse, and throwing up intentionally. If any of these four are done intentionally, then it breaks the fast. And the wisal type of fasting is haram, where a person fasts 2 days consecutively without eating, drinking, or having relations in between. And it's upon the person who breaks his fast intentionally to do the kafara if it's because of having relations with his wife, as we explained in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. It is recommended that we hurry to break the fast and that we delay the suhoor. I don't know if there were any other questions around this point. These points, if so, we can handle them now. And if not, maybe we'll continue to the next section, inshallah. Yes, sir. What we wanted to show from this hadith is that the Messenger of Allah said, I'm not like y'all. So you don't do the wisal, but I can do it because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking care of it. We said that some of the ulama use the likes of this type of hadith to show that there are some things that the Messenger of Allah can do, and then we after him can't do. Like the issue of he had more than 4 wives at one time, and we can only have 4 wives at one time. And we just wanted to show that there are some things that are particular to the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, only for him and not for the rest of the ummah. And then the ulama took from this, knowing this fact, they took from it to say that at times when you have a seeming a difference of an opinion, or two hadith seem to oppose each other, meaning one statement seems to oppose one action of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like he prohibited you from doing something and then he did it himself, as in this case. The ulama say, if he prohibited you with his statement, then it's upon the ummah to act in accordance to the statement of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and to understand or to give consideration to what he did in opposition to what he said, to be particular to him alayhi salatu wasalam, so that you work by all of the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, just like on this case. And they would say, on this case they act, well, we see you doing it, Ya Rasulullah. And he said, no, I'm different from you. I can do what you can. And then some of the ulama just took that to go to some of the other hadith to say that it's a possibility the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam could do that for himself, but you couldn't do it. How do you know it was for him to do and not you to do it? Because he told you not to do it. And anything that the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam tells us not to do, he's the first one not to do it, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And if he did what he told us not to do, then it must have been especially for him, because he is the one who fears Allah the most, sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. As we know from the hadith of those men who came to the wives of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam and said, I'm going to fast every day, I'm not going to get married, I'm going to make salat all night. And the Messenger of Allah sallam came and he was very angry. What's wrong with the people saying this? Don't they know that I fast some days and I break my fast other days? I make salat at night some days and I sleep. I make salat part of the night and I sleep part of the night, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he said that he married the women. And in some of the narrations, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said, I fear Allah more than any of you. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was just trying to make this statement, I'm not telling you, or it's not upon me to do one thing and you to do another thing. In general, everything that we've been commanded to do or prohibited to stay away from, I'm the first one to do it or to stay away from it. And that there's nothing special for me except those things that are special for me. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. This issue of the hadith of Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where he was eating the suhoor at the time the adhan was called. He looked at the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam, and the Prophet told him, finish it off, Ya Umar. And the ulama extract from this, and this is in the book Fasting the Month of Ramadan, where they have a chapter that deals with more of the hadith on suhoor. And they extract from this, some of the ulama do that. A person, it shows firstly that they are delaying the suhoor, as you see it so close to the adhan that even the adhan was being made while the suhoor was still being eaten. Also, they extract from this hadith that if someone is eating that what's in his hand, that he's eating at the time that he hears the adhan, where it's time to stop, then he can finish off as much as he wants of what's in his hand, and then begin the fast after that, from the license of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, as we saw in this example of Umar, Allah ta'ala and Allah. Yes.
That's
just
the same.
Yeah, no, this is another issue. That the issue where the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when you hear the adhan of Bilal, don't worry about it, keep on eating. Because he makes the adhan at night time, meaning he makes the adhan before al-Fajr. And then when you hear the adhan of Ibn Ummi Maktoum, then you stop eating because this is the time of Fajr. This is a different issue, and this is the issue of the first adhan being the adhan that has the phrase in it, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm. As we covered earlier in the fiqh of Imam Ash-Shawkani, that this statement, As-salatu khayrun min an-nawm, is for the first adhan. Salah is better than sleep. This is for the first adhan before the time of Fajr begins, in order to wake the people up and to get ready for Salatul Fajr, either with wudu and finishing off their witr or eating their suhoor or what have you before it's time for the Fajr. So that first adhan, it's not actually Fajr time, and when it's being called, then the people can still eat after it. What the example of Umar is referring to is the adhan, for lack of better words, the real adhan of Fajr that begins the time of Fajr, which begins the time that a person begins to fast at that adhan. If someone was eating, then he can continue to finish it off. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. I don't know if there were anything else left around these points of what breaks the fast. InshaAllah, we can think we should try to continue or let that go for tonight. The next section, Imam Ash-Shawkani, Al-Qadha'u-Sawm, making up the fast. Meaning if you had to break your fast, how are you going to make it up? And his statement, Rahimahullah, يَجِبُ عَلَى مَنْ أَفْطَرَ لِعُذْرٍ شَرْعِيًا أَنْ يَقْضِيَ وَالْفِطْرُ الْمُسَافِرِ وَنَحْوِهِ رُخْصَ إلا أن يخشى التلف أو الضعف عن القتال فعزيمة ومن مات وعليه صوم وعليه صوم صام عنه وليه والكبير العاجز عن الأداء والقضاء يكفر عن كل يوم بإطعام مسكين. إمام الشوكاني رحمه الله says in this section of making up the fast, it is compulsory for the one who breaks his fast for Islamic reason to make up that fast. And the one who is traveling and those like the one who is traveling have the license to either fast or break the fast, except if they feel that they might be destroyed, either by death or terrible sickness or what have you, or that they might be too weak to fight, then it becomes necessary to break the fast. It is upon the wali to make up the fast for the one who died and still had a fast to make up. The older person who doesn't have the ability to fast nor to make up the fast that he missed, then he feeds for every day a poor person. Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, he said it's compulsory for the one who breaks this fast for Islamic reason to make up the fast. Those Islamic reasons are sickness, traveling, and the women on their menstrual cycles. As we know in the ayah, Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says, فَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفْرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخَرٍ. The one who is sick or on a journey, then he makes up those days. So the ones who are on a sick and a journey, or sick or traveling, and they break their fast because they have the license to break their fast if they're sick or if they're traveling, then they make up those days, as Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala mentions in this ayah. And as for the women, then the hadith of Al-Bukhari Muslim,
the hadith where Mu'adha, she came, rahimahullah, she came to Aisha radiallahu anha, and she was asking sincerely about this issue of making up her salat while she's on her menstrual cycle. Because she thought that it was strange that, wait a minute, we're on our menstrual cycle, we don't make salat and we don't fast. But we make up our fast and we don't make up our salat. And she was asking Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, and Aisha radiallahu anha asked her, was she from amongst the Khawarij? By her statement, Ahururiyatun anti, are you from the Hururiya? And this was the area where the people of Deviance, the Khawarij, was from. And sometimes the groups are known from their area. Just like in our times, maybe you say you're from that avenue, then the people know then the people know that you're a deviant from that area. And the same thing during that time, you can call them by, sometimes they're known by their area as well as their name and whatever. And she told Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, فَنُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصِّيَامِ وَلَا نُؤْمَرُ بِقَضَاءِ الصَّلَاةِ. And this hadith is in al-Bukhari Muslim, where she said, we have been commanded to make up the fast, and we were not commanded to make up our salah. So it's from the women, it's from the women to make up their days if that they miss because of this Islamic reason when they're on their menstrual cycles, not to fast, as we see in this hadith of Aisha and al-Bukhari and Muslim radiallahu anha. Also we see from this hadith that, and this is from the etiquette of asking, answering questions. Sometimes the person answering a question, he feels a little something from the questioner. And that can be checked out in the beginning, and there's no harm. Like Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she said, you from the Khawarij? She wanted to make it clear. And nowadays people, they act like it's a crime if somebody asks you, you from such and such of a group. Why you say that? I was just asking a brother a question. First thing he asked him is, I'm from the Av, or I'm from this group, or whatever. We take this etiquette from the etiquette of our Salaf al-Salih, that they used to take this etiquette, because the people of deviance aren't going to be handled like the innocent people. When Aisha radiallahu anha found she was innocent, then she handled her like an innocent person and taught her the verdict of this deen of al-Islam. But when somebody is deviant, now it's different. You're not going to handle them like the innocent, because they're not coming with any innocent questions. They're really coming with the argument. Like the Khawarij, which was clear, was, what kind of sense is that? You're going to have them make up that and don't make up that, and then this is supposed to be the same. Where you get this from? And this was because the Khawarij, they thought that they understood this deen better than the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. Just like the deviants of today, they think that they're going to take the Quran and the Sunnah and they're going to practice it with the 15th century understanding of the Quran and the Sunnah. And it's just upon us, inshallah ta'ala, to take this advice, that if we know somebody's just straight up deviant, let them go. What are you going to benefit them? And they always asking, where's your proof? I remember when we sat with the deviants earlier about last year, that they said, where's your proof? He didn't show any proof. What kind of proof you bring to the deviants? If you bring a 1,000 pieces of evidence, they won't accept it. And Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha, she knew that from the beginning. And the ulama of Islam, they know that from the end. The people of deviance, you can bring them as many pieces of evidence as you want to. They're on what they're on. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to keep us on the straight path. Imam Ash-Shawkani, he continues by saying, the one who is traveling and those like him, like the traveler, have the permission or the license to either break their fast or to fast when they're traveling. Those who are like the traveler, what is meant by it, as Sadiq Hasan Khan in his explanation of this Luqadur al-Bahiyya by Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah, he says that what Imam al-Shawkani meant is the pregnant lady and the lady breastfeeding, that she's going to take the verdict of the traveler, meaning when she's the verdict of the one traveling, that when she's pregnant or breastfeeding, she has the license to either fast or to break her fast. And then there are many hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam around this, and the Shaykh brings the hadith of al-Bukhari Muslim, said Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami radiallahu anhu قال للنبي صلى الله عليه وسلم أصوم في السفر وكان كثير الصيام فقال إن شئت فصوم وإن شئت فأفطر. Hamza ibn Amr al-Aslami radiallahu anhu, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I fast or can I fast while I'm traveling? Because he used to do a lot of fasting. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if you like, fast, and if you like, break your fast. When you're traveling, and this just shows the point that Imam al-Shawkani rahimahullah is mentioning, that the one traveling, he has the option to break his fast or to fast, as the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in this hadith. And then there are many hadith around this issue, and it might come up in the questioning, and I don't know if now is the time to really handle it, because it might be a whole couple of classes in itself just to deal with the hadith around this issue of traveling and breaking your fast or fasting while you're traveling. And we'll just keep it short here with this point, as this is what the Shaykh wants to bring out, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. He says, however, if you fear destruction, if you fear you might faint, fear you might get so sick that you don't know what might happen, you might die or whatever, like you're going to fall out, or you feel that you won't be strong enough to fight jihad fi sabilillah when you get close to fighting the enemy, then it becomes necessary that you break your fast. Meaning you don't have this license once you're going to get faint, once you're going to faint or you feel you're going to die or whatever while you're traveling, you don't have the license anymore to choose should you fast or should you break your fast. At this time, it becomes necessary to break your fast, like it or not. And this is from the mercy of Allah to His creation. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And the Shaykh, he brings the hadith of Imam Muslim to show this point. From the hadith of Abu Sa'id radiallahu anhu, قال إنكم قد دنوتم من عدوكم والفطر أقوى لكم فكانت رخصة فمنا من صام ومنا من أفطر ثم نزلنا منزلا فقال إنكم مصبح عدوكم والفطر أقوى لكم فأفطروا وكانت عزما فأفطرنا ثم قال لقد رأيتنا نصوم مع رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم بعد ذلك في السفر. And this narration, Abu Sa'id, he said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you are beginning to get closer to the enemy and breaking your fast is stronger for you, or will make you stronger than fasting. And at that time, it was permissible to fast or break your fast. The Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was just making a recommendation. They're going out to fight jihad. It's a long journey to get to the battlefield, maybe months or whatever. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is just encouraging them, listen, alright, inshallah, after we get back and we win, then you can worship Allah all you like. Right now, this thing is about to get real thick. Break your fast, eat, get strong, because we're going to have to do it. Do this thing. This is what the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is trying to advise them. He says, so there was from amongst us those who fast and those who broke their fast. Then after we stopped at one of the places, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, tomorrow morning you meet in the enemy. And this breaking your fast is stronger for you, so I command you to break your fast. And at that time it became necessary to break the fast. He says, so we broke our fast, and then we saw that after that we used to fast with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while we're traveling. And the Shaykh, he just wants to use this narration of Imam Muslim rahimahullah to show that if the issue is fighting the enemy, or if the issue, and there's other narrations, or if that a person feels that he might faint or die or something, that it becomes just too much for him to handle this fast while he's traveling, at that time, it's necessary that he breaks the fast, and he doesn't have the license to choose should I fast or should not. At that time, he has to break his fast until he finds himself in better circumstances where he can take the option, which is the norm, that if you like to break your fast while you're traveling, you can. And if you like, then you can continue to fast, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. Yes. the brother is asking, and I was trying to run from this. Can't run from everything. He says, then how are we going to understand the statement of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam that there's, the translation, there's no righteousness in traveling. This had, and excuse me, there's no righteousness in fasting while you're traveling. This hadith of the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, like the hadith that we just covered, the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is just showing that if this thing is going to be too much of a burden for you, don't think that the issue is taqwa. Look out for your health. Islam is not no stupid religion. Your health is going bad. Okay, eat. Gain your strength back. Then when you okay, then continue to fast. As there's no righteousness in this type of thing. And the Christians, they have this type of mentality. You see some of them, they say, no, I'm not going to the hospital. I'm going to make prayer. And they say, prayer? You're going to die if you don't take this medicine. No, I'm going to rely on my Lord. Stuff like this. This isn't the attitude of this deen of Al-Islam. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We ask Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Then we take advantage of what Allah has made easy for us. Like the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained, that for every disease is a cure. Now the person just don't pray to Allah, but he prays to Allah that cure cures him. Because the cure might not cure you. The actual cure, it'll cure such and such. But will it cure you? It's from the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the same thing as we said before, that in the issue of qadr, that you might will to do something and you have the ability to do that thing, but it might not turn out the way that you want to, because everything is by the qadr of Allah tabaraka ta'ala. You wake up in the morning, you're healthy, you're going to work, it looks like you're going to be on time, then there's a traffic jam, you're not on time. So everything is going to take place the way that Allah tabarak wa ta'ala decreed. But we're going to go out to do it. You're not just going to sit in your house, and when it's time to go to work, yeah, it's time to go to work. Inshallah, oh Allah, just let me be at my job. And you that you just blink your eyes or something, you'll be at your job. But that Islam, it calls us to rely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then to do what we have to do. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, that we don't have this Christian mentality. You're going to sit around and think that something drops on your head like that. But we make dua to Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, and then we do what we have to do. So in this hadith and hadith like it, and this is one of the understandings, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that. And you can look at the issue of fighting jihad and whatever you want to try to get as fasting is to increase your taqwa. You saying, what better thing can I have for the enemy than taqwa? It's strength. Because he don't understand no taqwa. All he understands is when you cut his head off or shoot him in his mouth or something, that he's going to understand that Islam is strong and the Muslims are victorious. So this is what the Messenger of Allah is trying to show us. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best that don't make the issue of righteousness over top of your health, over top of everything that you know you have to do. You just try to make this, when I'm going to be righteous, as the people they used to do. Akhi, go get a job. Get a job, I'm going to the masjid. Yeah, you have to go to the masjid, but you have to get a job too. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam showed us before in the example, that a man, they said, where you work at? Now my brother take care of me, I'm a worshipper of Allah. And that he stay in the masjid all day, and his brother only comes to the masjid, make the salat, run back to work. Make salat, run back to work. And the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam explained that he's better than you, the one who's working, because he's working and he's worshiping Allah. You can't just sit around and call this righteousness. This is no being a monk in this deen of Al-Islam. Everybody has to do what he has to do to get closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then the other aspects of his life, he has to take care of that too. His health, his family, working, providing, and all of that. That he has to do all of this and get close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala too at the same time. Just like the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, they used to work in the daytime and do what they had to do. And then at night they stand up and worship Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. Or that they fast, and their fasting didn't stop them from working. And even like our Shaykh Muhammad Nasruddin al-Albani, he explained that he thinks that this is a bid'ah for the people to take off work on Yawmul Jumu'ah. He thinks it's a bid'ah for the people to take off of work on Yawmul Jumu'ah. But that the Muslim works on Yawmul Jumu'ah. What he does is he leaves off his work for the time of the worship of Allah tabarak wa ta'ala, meaning to get to the masjid early, so he can make some salah, some raka'at, make some dhikr, read Suratul Kaf, listen to the khutbah, make the salah, and then afterwards he can go back to his job. And this is what the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do. As in one of the narrations, it showed that they used to hurry back to attend to their camels after the Jumu'ah. And this just showed that they took care of their worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they took care of business that needed to be taken care of, and that it's not on the Muslims to be lazy. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best.
Yes.
Yeah, this is also, as the brother is just saying, even from the Surah Al-Jumu'ah, it tells you when it's over, go back in the earth and get that which Allah has decreed for you from His bounties. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala got all that money out there. Alright, Salat is over with, go get paid. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is commanding us to do, and this is why, alhamdulillah, that we accepted Islam, because Islam is the truth. And not just that it's the truth, that is clear for anybody with any type of mind to see that this deen of al-Islam is the truth. Not like this Christianity that you have to convince the mind to accept this foolishness. Just like some of the ulama, they used to say about alcohol or khamr. They used to say the body hates it, but you got to convince the body in the beginning, coughing it down and choking over it, till you get yourself used to khamr. Then you can enjoy it after that, because it's really not for you, but you gotta dog yourself out to convince yourself, then okay, now it's good. The same thing with that Christianity, it doesn't make sense to anyone, so you have to just say, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, don't worry, okay, till you catch yourself out there, then it's okay to be a Christian. And this is the deen of al-Islam, and it's the truth. Walhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Let us finish off this section, then we'll go back, inshallah, if there's time. I don't think there will be. But this issue, inshallah, of traveling and fasting is going to be important for a lot of people, as the world is small now. And everybody's traveling, alhamdulillah, all the time. And it's important for us to know it. And I hope that we can take one of the classes and to be to handle this topic of fasting around traveling, so we can try to look at a little more of the hadith and some more of the statements of the sahaba and the ulama, so that we can make it a little clearer. Otherwise right now it might be a little difficult. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. So if you're traveling, you have the right to break it or make it your fast. Except if it's going to be hardship on yourself, then you got to break your fast. And it's for the one who dies and he still has to make up some fast for his wali to make up the fast. May one of his relatives to make up the fast for him. From the statement of the Messenger of Allah alayhi salatu wasalam in the hadith of al-Bukhari and Muslim, من مات وعليه صيام صام عنه وليه. That whoever dies and he has some fast to make up, then his wali makes those fasts up for him. This is for a man or a lady. And the wali is just somebody from you that's going to handle your affairs after your death. Somebody says, how do you die? You have to make up some fast. Alright, in the month of Ramadan you got sick, you didn't fast. Before you made up that fast, in Shawwal or the next month, whatever, you died. Your wife know that you never got a chance to make up that day. She makes up that day for you. She makes up that day for you. And the same thing if two brothers are roommates or whatever, or brothers are friends close to one another, and then he's sick, he didn't fast. Alright, if somebody's sick and he's not fasting, he's not going to come to the masjid, drinking, eating. What's up? It's Ramadan. He's going to say, nah, I'm sick, man. Just camp and throw his bread out on the floor and start eating after dhuhr in the masjid. But during the month of Ramadan, if somebody's sick, he's going to eat in his house and he's going to eat away from the Muslims in order not to cause any fitna in the community, or to distract people from their fast, or to be like smiling in their face saying, doesn't this smell good, and the Muslim looking at him, he's trying to fast the month of Ramadan.
dies.
No, whenever he dies.
But I'm saying, you know, like for a person, say before Ramadan, that fast hasn't come upon him.
No, the person might die in Ramadan, he might die after Ramadan.
Okay, after Ramadan. But let's say he completed his fast in Ramadan, he doesn't know anything, there's nothing to make up.
Yeah. And then if there's nothing to make up, then the wali doesn't fast for him. This is for the one who dies, and he has to make up some fast.
Well, that's why I said in Ramadan, because that's the only time the fast is obligatory.
Oh, you're saying the fast that has to be made up is the fast of Ramadan, right? Because this is the obligatory fast. Yes. Inshallah. Really, I didn't want to go like that because Shokani didn't go like that. But I want to make the statement that the brother is saying too at the same time. But to understand that if somebody has a fast, he has to, that he feels he has to do that fast and he didn't do it and he has to make it up for whatever reason, then he's going to. Because, alright, you have to fast the month of Ramadan, but there's also other fasting. Like the people who make Hajj and they don't have the money to slaughter, then they're going to fast their days in Hajj, and they're going to fast their days when they return. Alright, they got to do them fast. Or, like we said, the person who fasts the month of Ramadan maybe have relations with his wife, or for whatever reason that somebody has to make up some fast, or as some people used to do before, if such and such takes place, I'm going to fast 3 days, and like that, even though there's other texts to show that the Messenger of Allah had discouraged us or prohibited us from making this type of oath, but that if those types of fasts have to be made up where a person dies and he didn't finish doing those days that he was supposed to do, then his wali makes it up. Not like if somebody died on the 10th of Ramadan, the barhi said he had the rest of the Ramadan to go. Nah, when he died, then that's it. But what had taken, what he had to owe before he died. Meaning, at the time of his death, he owed something. Not that he died on the first day of Ramadan, he owed the next 29. No. But that at the time of his death, he had owed something. Like a lady on her monthly courses during the month of Ramadan, she had to make up those days. And as Aisha radiallahu ta'ala anha mentioned, I think it was, or one of the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she mentioned that we used to wait almost till the next Ramadan come, then we hurry up and make up our days. Okay, suppose you die between that, then the husband can make up, or the son, or the father, or someone would fast those days for that lady. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala preserve everybody's life and keep them in obedience to Allah and His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Are we clear on this point, inshallah, that the one, whoever dies and he has to make up a fast, and then his wali fasts for him. And then the last point is that whoever from the elderly doesn't have the ability to make up the fast, meaning they don't have the ability to fast because they feel they're going to die or whatever, it's just too much for them to handle. How are they going to make it up? If they can't even handle that, how are they going to handle making it up? Whenever, for that type of person, what he does is to feed a poor person every day. And this is from the understanding of the ayah, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ, from Surah Al-Baqarah, in that section on the around one, ayah 184, where those who didn't have the ability to fast, then they had for those who didn't have the ability to fast, then what they did was they could feed a poor person for every day that they didn't fast. And this was the understanding of some of the companions of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that though that ayah was abrogated, it remained a verdict, but not for everyone, but for the elderly people who don't have the ability to fast or to make up their fast. In the beginning, let me just back up a little. In the beginning of Islam, when fasting was prescribed, okay, for some people just said, nah, I can't handle that fast. I know I got fast, but I can't handle it. I'd rather feed somebody. I got money, I'm going to feed some people, but I ain't fasting. Alright, he had that option to feed or to fast. وَانْتَصُمُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ إِنْ كُنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ, as Allah says, and to fast is better for you if you only knew. But it was still permissible to feed instead of fasting. that was abrogated and it became compulsory on everybody to fast the month of Ramadan so long as you were resident, you weren't traveling, you weren't sick, and women weren't on their menstrual cycles. Then it became compulsory on the Muslim Ummah to fast the month of Ramadan without any choice to feed or to fast. They said, when this came like this, it still remained that those people who are elderly and don't have the ability to fast or to make up the fast, then that ayah still applied to them. And that is that they would feed a poor person in the place of every day that they were unable to fast, knowing that they are also unable to make up that fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. And this is the brief explanation and the proof to support the statements of Imam al-Shawkani. It's compulsory on the one who breaks his fast for Islamic reason to make up the fast. And those Islamic reasons are traveling, sickness, and the women on their menstrual cycles. And likewise, the lady with the post-natal bleeding, it's the same verdict as the lady on her menstrual cycles. They make up those days that they missed. For the one who is traveling and the ones like them, meaning the pregnant lady or the lady breastfeeding, then they have the license to fast or to break their fast. Until it becomes hazardous to their health or detrimental to their health, or it weakens them when it comes time to fight in jihad. In that case, they don't have the choice to break their fast or to fast. It's necessary that they break their fast. Whoever dies and has days to make up, then his wali, his guardian, relative, or whoever would make up those days for him. And for the older, the elderly, who don't have the ability to fast or to make up the fast, then they feed a poor person for every day that they don't fast. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best, alhamdulillah. I don't know if there were any questions around this. I don't know if anyone had any questions around it, or these points are clear, inshallah. The women on their menstrual cycles, we were trying to keep it brief with the statement of Imam al-Shawkani, and then we'll try to take it a little deeper than this at the next time, inshallah ta'ala, but not right now. And we can just refer the people back to the book Fasting, the month of Ramadan by Ali Hassan and Salim al-Hilali, and that if there's any questions after the reading of this book, then we can handle there. But they do an explanation in it. And really, when I advise the people to read the book, the Muslims should be ashamed that they have money and they don't have these books in their houses. Are we going to be pleased with ignorance over top of knowledge? Are we going to be pleased with going down the wrong path instead of the right one? People have to take advantage of these books and to make sure that they're in their houses. And don't feel like we used to say when we were ignorant, what's somebody doing with all them books? You can't read all of that. No, you can't read all of that tonight, or maybe in two nights, or maybe in 3 weeks. But it's there when something comes up. You can go there and know how to do what's right. And this is the importance of books. And maybe you might not even read it yourself, because you might not have a need for it. But maybe your child will have a need for it. Maybe your wife might have a need for it. Maybe the Muslim, your friend, or whoever, might have a need for it. And it's important for the Muslims to buy these books, because this is one way of preserving the knowledge. And with the absence of the books, there's absence of the knowledge, and then there's a lot of the ignorance. And you can see in the communities where the people are ignorant, the imams on down don't have any books. Wallahi, some of the imams don't have libraries. And the people, they don't have libraries, and everybody's happy. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. And it's serious for us to always watch our money, so that we can buy these books for ourselves and for our children and for the generations after us. And this is one of the things that too, that can benefit a person after his death. When you die, you can't do no more good deeds. But the Messenger of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam taught us some things that even after you die, you can do to benefit you. And amongst them is to leave behind some knowledge. Those books you bought, you left them behind you. When you die, somebody read them, benefit from them, or you getting the reward. It's like you guided that person to whatever he learned from that book, and you get the reward for it even after your death. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But there's no questions around it. We hear that we have Atlantic City with us. And if they have any questions on this section, and we forgot to ask on the section before, then they can ask their questions, inshallah ta'ala. We'll just repeat this point that the statements of Imam Ash-Shawkani rahimahullah, they're brief, the explanation is brief. We try to give the evidences in short to support each of these points, and it's important that we get some of these points down. And then there's a lot of points around the issue of Ramadan, rather around the issues of our deen in general, but let's try to get something down first. Then as we move on, we get a little more down and a little more down, because sometimes if you take more than you can swallow in the beginning, then it'll be hard to get even some of the basic points down. And even as we were trying to motion that, hopefully tomorrow morning after Fajr, we want to handle one of these issues that had come up, this issue around the name of An-Nur. And I was trying to look for my book, and the brother took it with him, called Kitab al-Tawheed by Imam Ibn Manda, who died 395 Hijra, which is 1,000 years ago, a little more than 1,000 years ago. And we can see his aqidah, and definitely he's amongst the Salaf al-Salih, on this beautiful name of An-Nur for Allah tabarak wa ta'ala. And he has the chapter from amongst the beautiful names of Allah Azza wa Jal is An-Nur. Then he brings the ayat, then he brings the hadith of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And this is just the importance of keeping the books of the ulama, because you don't know what might come up, and then the people say this and that, and then you go back to the books. And sometimes if we don't buy the books, something's going to come up and we can't go to the books. And we remember this too last year when we were dealing with one of the topics that was a big discussion in the community. The people of knowledge didn't even have the books to even deal with the issue, but they all have fatwas on the issue. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ الْعَلِيُّ الْعَظِيمِ. This is one of the ways to keep us from blindly following someone into a lizard's hole and being able to stand on that which is correct, and Allah knows best. صلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك والسلام عليكم ورحمة الله.